If someone would do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Awesome. So are you guys ready to go? All right. You know, Michael Gerber, the number one small business expert in the world, according to Inc. magazine, said that the secret to business is the system. The secret is the system. And in this course, in addition to our goals, plans, and systems that you've already been through, we are going through five systems of a phenomenal business. And that's why I titled my second book, The Five Secrets of a Phenomenal Business, because the secret is the system. So last week, you learned the phenomenal marketing systems. Marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. The next system is sales, but we want to go beyond sales and have phenomenal sales. And we want to go beyond that and have a phenomenal sales system. Next is operations. That'll be next week. Week after that, phenomenal administration systems. And then finally, phenomenal leadership systems. These systems have been proven to work throughout hundreds of different industries. We're coaching in over 100 industries right now, small towns, big cities, seven different countries. And so these things just work. So I want to just really encourage you to implement these, to learn it, to implement it. And those are the simple two things that people who are successful with us do. These systems work. They've been proven out in my own companies. They've been proven out in member companies across the board. They've been validated and reinforced by some of the top business trainers and authors in the world. So today is phenomenal sales systems, and there's a tremendous difference between marketing and sales. Several years ago, my wife and I were in the market for a brand new Honda for our son. And it was a Saturday morning. My wife goes out and does her errands and shopping and stuff like that. And what does Howard do? Howard spends time planning, thinking, working on my goals, working on my business plans, doing my presentations for my conferences. And Saturdays, since I'm not doing phone calls and the office is closed, I mean, it's a great, phenomenal time to really get a lot of planning done. Well, this particular Saturday, one of my honeydews was to go locate this car. So I get on Honda's website, and they've got an opt-in on their website. And I want you to make sure that on your website you have a way to for people to opt in, that you have some sort of free report, free video. There's something that we teach in one of our modules called the free trial offer. You can also read about it in some of my books. And you want to have some sort of free trial offer, even if it's just information that's helpful to your audience so that you can capture their name and email address, because the money is in the list and you want to be able to contact people. You want to be able to email them, call them, mail to them, whatever the case might be, depending on what your business is. So they had an opt-in and it said, put in your cell phone number, we'll contact you within 3 minutes. And I was like, okay, I got to see this. And by the way, that's about how much time you have when someone opts into your website. So you want to make sure that you also have an autoresponder on your website that communicates with people immediately and tells them what to do next. So sure enough, my cell phone rings and I pick it up, and this wonderful, nice young lady on the other end of the phone convinces me that I need to get down there to that dealership today. Like they're going to run out of Hondas or something, right? And I find myself getting out of my comfort zone, out of my planning, and I mean, which takes basically a couple sticks of dynamite to make that happen. I don't even remember what she told me now. But I find myself driving up to the dealership. And I drive up and I ask for this young lady, and they said, well, she's in the internet marketing department, so and so is going to help you. And what unfolded before me had nothing whatsoever in common with sales or service. It was the worst, quote unquote, sales process. It was awful. And so the thing is that I did buy a brand spanking new Honda, but I didn't buy it from them. We don't want that to happen to you, and this is why you got to have a sales system. There is a handout for today each week, except for GPS. We have a handout, and you can fill it in as we go. Sales is everything you do to convert prospects into paying customers. Sales is everything you do to convert prospects into paying customers. Phenomenal sales delivers a meaningful experience that engages, that educates, and entertains. Now, if we go back to the Honda story, was it engaging? No. In fact, they told me, no, you can't meet with her. You got to deal with us. They did not engage. They did not educate. They did not entertain. Had they known that I'm a high D, and I don't know if all of you guys have been through DISC yet, but this is a communication program that we teach, learn your behavior style, learn your communication style, which is absolutely essential in sales. You've got to know the personality style, the communication style of your prospect. You can tell by how they move, how they talk, what they talk about, what they don't talk about, what they don't do, and what they don't say. And so it's DISC, so you got to understand their DISC. And so I'm a high D, in a hurry, get it done, faster the better. There's no issue with financing. There's no issue with money. I know exactly what car that I want. They have the car. This could be the easiest sale you ever made in your entire life. As a matter of fact, they probably could have upgraded me with a little bit of entertainment by, hey, you know, I understand you want to get your projects done. Here's a place you can use a computer. If you got your, you know, computer with you, your computer with you, whatever. Here, sit right here. I'll make it as fast as possible. Can I get you some coffee? Get you some water. By the way, that's a great car that you're looking at. But did you know about this other car that has a little bit more extra features, whatever? If they went through the seven-step sales process, even with a D that I'm about to show you today, they could have uncovered what my real goal was, and they could have made that sale, and I would be telling you a different story about that dealership today, and I would be sending all my friends down to that dealership and calling them by name. But they didn't. So what's the experience that you're going to create that engages that prospect, educates that prospect, and entertains that prospect? Those are the three E's of experience. A phenomenal sales system is a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. The nice thing is that when you have a sales system, you can teach it to other people, no experience necessary. If they just simply follow the process, then they will be successful. A couple of people in our organization who don't have any quote-unquote experience in the technical work that we do, but that sell over $1 million a piece in sales per year. So the thing is that this is a system is something that you can duplicate with other people with the lowest level non-experienced person possible. All right? Now, the first step is you need a sales goal. And I know that Santiago talked about this last week, but I want to reemphasize this because the thing is that you got to have a target. You got to have something that you're looking for. And I've provided the space on the handout for you to put in your annual goal, your monthly goal, and your daily goal. So what you want to do is you want to set your annual goal, break it down by the month, then break it down by the day. Now, if you have a business that's revolving around subscriptions, then you know how many subscriptions do you have, how many members do you have, what's your guest count if you have a restaurant, so on and so forth. And then you're going to have high and low months, so you can go and look at your numbers, look at your history. Hopefully you have that available, and you can see what your high months and low months are, and you can adjust that on a per month basis. If you have a business that is surrounding events or certain projects, then let's have a goal of how many projects and how many events we're going to do this year and what the average rate is. By the way, this Tuesday on in the Inner Circle, we are launching an 8-week financial course with my financial consultant, Ellen Rohr. She's the woman who helped me get out of debt. She's the lady who helped my company become extremely profitable, and we use her financial systems to do that. You got to know your numbers. You got to be focused on those numbers, and she's got simple systems. And if you're not in Inner Circle yet, you can actually, you probably got an email on this already. If you haven't, you will, where you can actually join in on that first session at no charge and get a feel for it. And then if you'd like to sign up for the rest of it, you can. But you got to know your numbers. Where are you going to get that annual sales goal from? You're going to get it from your income statement. You're going to get it from your profit and loss. And what I challenge you to do as a business owner is to understand that there are only 5 numbers on any income statement, and we'll cover this in more detail under administration here in a couple more weeks, and I'll teach you how to look at your reports. Now, Ellen's going to go way deeper than I'll go. This is basic training. This is boot camp, basically. And but I'm going to teach you what these numbers mean. And my challenge to you is that you know those numbers, and when you know those numbers, you'll be able to do your future income statement on a piece of notebook paper. I mean, I can sit out here on the beach and I can say, okay, here's what I want my net income to be this coming year. Here's what my overhead's going to be. I'm going from the bottom up. Here's what my gross profit has to be. If I know my cost of goods sold percentage, then I can simply do a very simple calculation, which, by the way, is in the business planning document that we gave you, I believe, and I can come up with my sales goal. Now I've got an annual sales goal. I've got something to shoot for. I can share that with my team. We can track it every day. We can track it every month and implement the strategies and the systems that we need to reach that, and that's how you grow. So I challenge you as a business owner to be able to put your future income statement on a piece of notebook paper. Now, when we talk about money, and I think that Santi talked about this last week. I noticed the same slide was in that presentation, but it certainly warrants repeating it. Because when we talk about money, we talk about making sales. People get a little bit weird about it. You know, everybody says that they want to make more money, but internally, emotionally, we have a lot of issues with money. And I love what Zig Ziglar said. He said that money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's reasonably close to oxygen on the gotta have it scale. We want you to be profitable. We want you to make enough sales for you to reach your life goals. The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals, period, end of story. And being broken in debt is inexcusable in America today. It just doesn't have to happen. Let's talk about what selling is and what it isn't. Nothing happens in a business until a sale is made. Healthy sales cure all other business evils. What's a business evil? Well, an employee quits or steals, or the government wants more money from you that you didn't expect. There's a tax that you didn't know about. Equipment breaks down, computers crash, whatever the case might be. And sales isn't something that you do to someone. Sales is something you do for and with someone. Zig Ziglar says that selling is essentially a transference of feelings. By the way, the root word of sell in our language comes from the word to serve or to give. One of the things that you'll learn in today's session is that when you are selling to someone, you are serving them, you are helping them, you are giving to them, you are adding value to them. And the fact is that if you don't sell something, you're doing them wrong. You're doing them wrong. So that'll come out loud and clear today. Let's understand the only two reasons people buy things. Number one, they have to. What's a good example of that? Toilet paper. Now, I guess you don't have to, but it's pretty much on our have-to list, at least here in America. Or they want to. What's the what's an example of that? Maybe that new car that you want, that new house that you want. You don't need it, but you want it. We buy things to avoid because of the fear of pain, or to avoid pain. That might be insurance. I don't want to be in the poorhouse because I get sick, or my house burns down, or something like that. Number two, the hope of gain. I want to have a better life. I want to do a lot of things. So I will buy things out of the hope of gain. Many of you joined up in Inner Circle. Might have been the fear of pain. Hey, if I don't put some systems in place in my business, if I commit FTI, failure to implement, I'm going to be bad off. I'm already bad off. I'm already desperate. So there's some fear there. So you're buying out of desperation, but we want to move that to inspiration. And that's the only two reasons that people make extraordinary change in their life, is desperation or inspiration. The problem is with desperation, we see this with students all the time, is that they're desperate, so they come to us and they get comfortable again, but they're not out of the woods yet, and they quit. And they stop, working on themselves, and they stop working on their business, and they get comfortable again. They get in that comfort zone. We need to kick that over to inspiration, because when you have inspiration, when you have big vision, when you know that it's possible to reach your biggest goals and dreams in life, then what happens is you're going to get up and implement every single day. That's called the hope of gain. So people buy to avoid pain, to get gain, and it's very important to understand in your business how that is translated. What's the pain of not having the product or service that you have, and what is the gain of having it, and which one do you focus on? So let's walk through my seven-step sales system. This is a system that I have developed over the years, and again, it's been proven in my own companies. It's been proven in companies around the world. And step one in the sales process is to establish rapport. Establish rapport. What I mean by that is that we want to find some common ground. And one of the best things that you can ask is, have you used our service before? Or have you been here before, if it's a restaurant or a retail store or whatever? How did you hear about us? Why do you want to ask that? Well, that's marketing 101. Where is my business coming from? I need to track my marketing. This is going to give you some insights of how they make decisions. Who are they referred by? What did that person say about us? And you'll read more about this in the online training that you have access to. Build rapport through their disc. If they're a D, they're in a hurry, I'm going to change my pace. No matter what my personality style is, I've got to adapt to theirs because I've got to adapt to theirs because that way I'm going to be able to build rapport with them, you see. And I'm going to get on their pace. If they're an I and they're telling stories and events and this and that, and they want to have some fun, then I'm going to get on that with them. If they're an S, they're more reserved, people oriented, but reserved, their probably talking about safety and their family and that kind of stuff. You know, they're very careful, and I'm gonna be softer in my approach. And then the reserved. By the way, I just got the handout to my staff this morning, and it is in the chat now. So if you guys want to download that, okay. You can do it later if you want to. You don't have to do it right now, but just want to let you know that it is there. If they're a C, they're very analytical. That's the cautious type. They got a lot of questions. You want to slow down. Give them a lot of detail. Understand they're not going to make that decision today, you see. So another way to build rapport is to connect with their DISC profile, and you really need to understand DISC. If you haven't been through that yet, then get with our office so that we can help you understand that process. There's a restaurant that I've been to a couple of times called Buca di Beppo, and the reason I have them on the screen here is because when you go to their restaurant, they ask you, have you been in our restaurant before? And if you haven't, they take you on a tour of the restaurant, including the kitchen. They take you through the kitchen. Hey, talk about accountability to keep the kitchen clean. And not only that, there's a kitchen table. Talk about an experience. There's a kitchen table. There's one booth in the kitchen that you can reserve ahead of time, and it'll seat up to, I don't know, about 7 or 8, 9 people. And you actually sit in the kitchen, so you see all the dishes that are coming out. You get to see the food before anybody else does and before you order. And, of course, you're hollering at everybody that's coming through the kitchen. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. So that's a good example of recognizing, you know, who has been there before or not, and kind of creating that experience for them right off the bat. Another way to build rapport with people is to use their name. You should always use their name. Dale Carnegie said that the name of a person is the sweetest sound to him in any language. And Dale Carnegie is one of America's personal development legends. And when you use someone's name, don't overuse it, but when you use their name, you really build rapport with them. Number two, the second step is connect with their emotional state. There's an overarching emotional state of your typical target market client. And I hope that you got that from last week, that you have a specific niche market. If you try to be everything to everybody, you won't be anything to anybody. So you got to decide on your niche market. It's called getting rich in the niche. And let's say that you're in the bridal business. Well, there's two pictures here. There's one on the right. That's what you want that bride to feel like after they get married. But if that's all you focus on and you don't recognize the emotion in the left picture there, this is what they feel like before they get married. Their questions are, is everything going to turn out okay? Is the wedding going to go okay? Is anything going to happen? And if you don't address that, you're absolutely missing the boat. That is a fear of pain that you must tap into. Now, of course, we're going to talk about the other too, but if we talk about one and not the other, then we're missing the boat. So you got to connect with their emotional state. You need to have some sort of statement in your sales presentation that causes them to know that you understand their pain and you understand their gain. For example, at Phenomenal Products, you know, our goal is to help you stop being a slave to that business. A lot of pain there. Help you transform it into a predictable, profitable, turnkey operation so that you can have the freedom you've always wanted. So I just gave you the left picture and I just gave you the right picture right there. We have a service company. you choose a service company, and we want to help you avoid those uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous service companies. You know the type. They show up late if they show up on at all. They don't show up on time. They don't treat you and your home with courtesy and respect. They overcharge you, underdeliver. Good luck getting them back again. And we really connect with that emotional state. Every homeowner has been there. Every homeowner's been there. But they're not thinking about that when they call you. They're not thinking about that. See, they're thinking about the product or service that they want at the price point that they want. They're not thinking about the emotional aspects of what might happen later. And it's your job as a salesperson to bring that up in the right way. Number three is build credibility. And one of the best ways to do that is with our five-point experiential marketing message. In the business planning document that you have, there's an exercise to go through and develop your own five-point marketing message. These are the five things that people will stand in line and pay the highest prices for. Number one is reputation. Who you're referred by, who trusts you. For example, being the exclusive small business coach for the Ziegler Corporation is huge because that's the most trusted name in training. You want to demonstrate trust. Experience. Unless you're in a new business, you're creating a new space, you're interrupting the market, Uber or something like that. But typically, most of the businesses that we're working with, we want to know that they have experience. Even if it's a new restaurant, the thing is that who's the chef? Who's the owner? What's their experience been, right? There's a story. Michael Gerber talks about the storyteller in his book, Awakening the Entrepreneur. The marketer is the storyteller, right? And of course, I tell the story of how I, grew up on welfare. I started my business out of the trunk of my car. I've been in business for over 31 years. Been helping small business owners be successful for over 20 years. You've got to share your experience. And you can get to where you can do this in about a minute or less, you see. Our service company, we're referred exclusively by the following referral source types, you see. We've been in business for over 31 years. Third is education or training, certification. I'm certified in DISC. I was the first certified legacy trainer for Ziegler, first certified trainer for John Maxwell, and our systems have been proven to transform businesses, and then you want to offer a guarantee. So what is the training you have? What's the certification you have? What's the system? What is the service system? What's the delivery going to look like? In the Inner Circle, we have a unique system that we use with small groups and accountability and community. Nobody has that. And then guarantee or follow-up. If you can't guarantee your product or service for whatever reason, maybe it's illegal to do so. We work with people in insurance, attorneys, people in the medical field. They can't really offer a guarantee, but they can talk about what happens if, you don't feel like you've been taken care of. What's that commitment? So you need to develop your five-point marketing message and be able to deliver it in the sales process in about a minute or so, maybe 2 minutes, depending, and that will help you build credibility. That's how you build credibility right there. Number four is we dig into the problem. Everybody that buys something has a problem. And they have a problem even if they're buying a brand spanking new car. They have a problem. Now, we might not call it a problem. We might call it a first world problem. We might call it a rich person's problem. But the thing is that if I want a new car, maybe my problem is that, you know, my car has got 100,000 miles on it, and, you know, the seats are getting a little bit funky, and, you know, it doesn't look as good as it used to. And my problem is I need a better brand, a personal brand image, you know. So that's a problem to that buyer. So you got to understand what the problem is. And this is really where the sale is made. This is where you're going to ask a lot of questions. And you want to have a set of questions that you ask. You want to have maybe an assessment. Many of you have been through our business assessment. If you haven't, what you want to do is go on the online training and do that assessment where you rate each one of these systems in your business on a scale of 1 to 10, because that's going to reveal the gap between where you are right now and where you want to be. And that's what you really want to do in step 4, is you want to ask a lot of questions that creates the gap, and you identify the need. So you need to identify the problem or identify the need that they have, because what they might be talking about might not actually be what they're really after. Okay, so I want to build my business. Well, why do you want to build your business? Well, so I can make more money or whatever. Okay, well, why do you want to make more money? Ultimately, it's going to come down to your life goal. In our service business, okay, what kind of problem do you have? What's your concern? Where are you located? Tell me about the project. Have you had this project service before? Have you used anyone in our industry before? Tell me about that experience. Did they do this? Did they do that? Were you happy with their service? You see, by asking questions, you're like a doctor, you see, and you can you want to be able to do an assessment. And that's very important, because when you get to step 5, you get to the solution. Now you know what the real problem is. See, what most people do is they get a prospect, they say, okay, we're going to come and do this, 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 and this, and they give them a price, and that's it. And they wonder why they don't have a good closing rate. Well, number one, you got to attract the right prospect. If you don't attract the right prospect, it doesn't matter, and the worst thing you can do is close that client. Okay. Secondly, if you get the right client, the worst thing in the world is to get the right prospect and not be able to close them, because you're not going through these steps. You're not establishing rapport. You're not connecting with their emotional state. You're not building credibility. And with a D, you got to do this quickly. And you just let them know that, hey, listen, I know you're in a hurry. I know you want to get to the bottom line. I know that you want to, I promise I'll give you the investment. But I've got to ask you a few questions. We'll get through this really, really quick, you know. But you got to go through these steps. Because if you don't help them find the pain, if you don't find the gain, if you don't connect with them and they don't see that you have the solution, then, or even a better solution, then why would they choose you, and why would they pay you a higher price? Okay? So once we get to the solution, now what we have to do is we have to connect the solution to the problem. But be careful. Here's the reason I have this exclamation point on the screen right now. Caution. Selling ain't telling. Phenomenal sales happens by asking good questions. So in step 4, you're going to ask a lot of questions. And in step 5, you're going to be tempted to do a lot of telling, but don't do it. What you're going to do is you're going to explain the benefits, the steps, what you're going to provide, And then after each statement, you're going to ask a question. Does that look like what you're looking for? Does that sound like what you're looking for? Does that make sense? Ask these yes questions all the way through, because you don't want to get, first of all, you don't want to leave the customer behind, right? You start just spewing all over them, and they're lost back there somewhere, don't even waiting for you to shut up. Engage them. Ask questions. Number six is quote or share the investment, all right? Now, notice that I didn't say price. What's the difference? The difference between a price and an investment is a price is something that you pay today. It's a cost, and you never recover that cost. You're just spending money. But an investment is something that you get a return on. So the idea is that steps one through five, you build such tremendous value over and above what that investment is, so that it's absolutely 100% crystal clear that it's worth every penny. If you get a price objection at that point, then there may be several reasons for that. Maybe you attracted the wrong prospect. Maybe you didn't create enough value, or maybe they have just simply been conditioned and they don't understand the difference yet. And we're going to have to get into step seven here in just a minute and ask some more questions, all right? But when you quote the share the investment, when you share the investment, shut your trap. It has been said, and I've found that it's pretty much true, that the first one who speaks after the investment is shared is the one who buys, is the one who pays. Have you found that? Why do we start running at the mouth and talk past the sale after we quote the investment? Well, maybe it's because we don't believe in what we're selling. Maybe it's because your team member, your employee thinks, well, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on this. You're not selling to yourself. You're selling to someone who has the problem and the capability of coming up with the money to pay for that. You're not selling to you. You're selling to them, and you're helping them. Number six is overcome objections. Let me share a rule with you, and that rule is when you get an objection, always, 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 did I say always, ask a question. Because anything other than a question is just an excuse or an explanation that may or may not resonate with them. So we need to ask some good questions. And I'll share with you in just a minute, we're going to go through five ways to overcome objections, and I'm going to give you some questions to ask. By the way, the reason I have this picture here is Tom Ziegler and I went to Cambridge University to speak, and we got some of Zig Ziglar's best friends together. And the guy that I'm sitting next to right there, this was in London, you can see the London Bridge behind us, and his name is Bernie Lofchick, and Bernie was Zig Ziglar's best friend in the whole world. And he said that Zig used to say that Bernie would always ask a question. If you ask a question, he would always ask you a question back. And he said, Bernie, Why do you always answer a question with a question? Bernie says, well, why not? Okay, I can feel that a couple of you guys got that, okay? But the idea is that always, always, always ask a question. All right, so step one, this is five ways to overcome objection. Step one, review the values that you shared. Review the values that you shared. Now, maybe we're going to deal with one question or one objection that people typically get, like, wow, your price is really high, or wow, that's a lot of money, or whatever the case might be. Now, the truth is that when you come down to, if you've done a good job in steps one through six, then price objections should be the only thing that you're dealing with at that point, because everything else should have been already covered. Scheduling should have been covered. Any potential objections, you might want to make a list of the common objections that you get. Weave that into step four and step five so that you're addressing those ahead of time, so that the only thing that's left is, if anything, is a price objection. Now, the best case scenario is you got the right prospect. They know they want your service or product. They know they want to buy it from you, and they're just waiting for you to give them the investment so they can say yes. And that's why you need to be quiet when you share the investment, because they might say yes. And you'll get yeses more often when you do all of this right. Now, different products, different services take a different kind of sales cycle. There's some products and services that require, you know, several visits, several conversations, planning, yada, yada, yada. But what you'll see is throughout the entire process, you're going to have these seven steps somewhere in the process. You may decide that it's better to, that it works better to offer one thing before the next thing. Like, for example, what we're doing here is we found that people who go through our training are not only more likely to join Inner Circle, which is what we really do, but they're also better prepared for Inner Circle. They know us, like us, trust us. They've gotten some value. They understand that, you know, they need help implementing it. They understand that they need to go deeper, and they want to be part of a community. They want coaching. They want advice. They want direction. And so they're ready to go. Because if we just sell Inner Circle right up front, then you don't know us, like us, trust us, you haven't even experienced any of our training yet. You know, some people do that, and that's great. But by and large, this is the cycle that most people go through, and that's why we offer this to you. Now, many of you on this training right now are already in Inner Circle, or you're the owner of the company has put you on as a team member to learn the sales system today, you know. But the fact is that they probably went through, if they're an Inner Circle member, they came to one of our presentations, came to one of our live events, got on something like this. So we're going to deal with the price objection, but really you could put any objection in here, and you just need to have some questions that you're going to ask. So step one is to review the values. Okay, review the values. So they say, wow, your price is high. You might say, oh, so you feel that the price is high. What do you mean by that? Now, understand that you've built a tremendous amount of rapport with them at this point, and so you can ask some direct questions. Do you mind if I ask how high is too high? Do you mind if I ask you what your budget is or what you were planning on investing? Let's go back and ask about the values. Now, we talked about the five things that set us apart. We talked about the company that you've used in the past and that you weren't really happy with them. I mean, does it make sense that you can't really get all of this that we offer for a low price, and that's why that other company is out of business? If you want to be really bold, maybe you can, if they say, well, so-and-so is half the price, you might say, well, what do you think that they're leaving out? I have a client in Costa Rica. He used to work for us, actually, and he moved to Costa Rica, started a great business down there, number one business in his industry in Costa Rica. He got a big award for that recently. And when he gets an objection like this and they say no, I mean, he does it by the book. He just follows our system step by step. His name is Carlos. And so if they still say no, he says, okay, well, I'll tell you what, do you mind if I give you, if you're going to call somebody else, give you five questions to ask them? Wow, what a powerful question. And well, they go, well, sure, of course. Ask them about their reputation. Ask them what kind of reputation they have. Ask them what kind of experience they have. Ask them about their certifications, their training. Ask them about their systems, and ask them about their guarantee. He says that 90% of them, after he gives them those five questions, they go, you know what, never mind, I'm going to book with you. Very, very cool. Number two, change the scope of the job or scope of the order, size of the order, or whatever. Okay, let's say that I go to look at a new car, and let's say I want like a high-end Mercedes or something like this. I want a specific type of Mercedes. And I go to the dealership, and that car is way more than what I thought it was. Now, most people research pricing and all that. They already know, but let's just say that whatever it is that you sell is higher than they expect, then what you can do is you can change the scope of the order. Maybe you ask, tell me, what's the most important part of this project or order to you? In other words, what can you get by with now? So if we know the budget, we know what they need to get by with right now. For example, in our service company, we will quote this whole project, and then if there's a budget or whatever, we'll say, well, why don't we do this piece of it now, and we'll do the rest of this later on. And then they'll be either like, oh, that's a great idea, because then that'll get us in, you know, get us into our budget, or you know what, let's just go ahead and do it all right now. What they see is that you're working with them. You're trying to work with them. Okay. Number three, payment options. Did you know that we accept all major credit cards or any other payment arrangements that you might want to offer? Now, here's the thing. Don't leave it up to them to think about that, because they're not thinking about that. You know, when people are afraid, when they're fearful, and sometimes what happens is when you quote a high price or a big investment and they're not prepared for that, the money fear that they don't even understand shuts their brain down. They can't think. You have to help them think. You have to help them through this process. Oh, You accept credit cards? Awesome. Well, I get paid once a month, and you know, by the end of the month, that's not going to be a problem because I'm going to get paid. I'm going to put it on my card, and I'll just pay that off on my card. And, hey, I'll get mileage. If you know what your job cost is, and you know the minimum amount that you need to get so that you don't lose money, then you can say, well, you know, let me ask you this question. You really want to do this, right? You can see how it's going to help you in all of these ways, correct? And I understand that all you can invest in right now, invest is X amount right now, right? Okay. I tell you what, why don't we do, let me just ask you this. What if we could, you could put that amount down right now and we pay out the rest in the future? How would that be? Awesome. Okay. So that's step three. It's a great technique. Number four is your free trial offer. How about if we do whatever your free trial offer is, what if we do a free consultation for you? What if we do a free trial of the service? Tell you what, why don't you come to this meeting or demonstration or whatever it is that we have? I tell you what, why don't we get you on this this free video here so that it'll share a little bit more with you, and then I can follow up with you after that. How would that be? You want them to experience the idea behind the free trial offer, if you haven't studied that yet, is it's the idea that they can experience you. This is why we give some of the, like this week on Tuesday, we're giving away the first session of Ellen Rohrer's 8-week Phenomenal Financial Blast at no charge, because when you kind of see what it's all about and you get the overview of the course, you're more likely to join up. And even if you don't, what did we lose? Doesn't cost us a dime extra to have more people on there. You know us better, like us, trust us. Maybe you're going to do business with us later on. We've got to make that investment, plant that seed, you know. And so free trial offer can be a very, very powerful tool to use. All right, and then step five is the referral reward program. And the referral reward program is not normally you wouldn't see this as a way to overcome objections, but some of our clients over the years kind of brought this to our attention. So what happens is, if you have a referral reward program, which you should, let's just say that you have a 10% referral reward program. You can have any kind of referral reward program that you want. I mean, you can have a flat fee. You want to make it enough that it makes people go out of their way to refer you. By the way, this 6-week course is going to continue every Thursday. People can jump on at any point. It's just going to be continuous, like a circle. Just when we get done with leadership, we're going to go to GPS, we're going to go to, and so anybody can jump on at any time. They don't have to jump on when we start up again at GPS. When you refer another business owner, if you're enjoying this course, when you refer another business owner to us that gets on this course for $197, you get $100. Why do we want to give away more than half of the course in a referral fee? Because we don't really make money on these courses. We really want everybody to be in inner circle. That's where we can help you the most. That's where you really experience community. You really make the commitment to make things happen. That's how we make money. And so we're willing to do it at a very low investment and we're willing to give away a referral reward to get in front of more people. Plus, it doesn't cost us a dime extra to have another person on the line, so why not, you know, share that with you? So if you get a price objection, let's say you offer a 10% referral reward, and they say, well, you know, gee, your price is too high, you simply, remember, ask a question. Are you familiar with our referral reward program? Oh, no, I'm not. Tell me about it. Well, we offer a 10% referral reward program. So what that means is, let's just say that you put this on a credit card, and over the next 30 days or 45 days or however long it is before you actually pay that bill, you can get all your money back. All you have to do is send us 10 clients that do the same thing that you're doing right now, and you'll earn all that money back. Over the years, I have literally seen people in our service company literally work toward generating referrals for that 10% referral fee. And we generate almost $1 million in new business in through referrals every single year. And almost, well, probably 40% now, about 40% of those referrals come from clients. The other 60% come from referral sources, which is why you should be here in Destin with us on the 21st and 22nd with myself and David Fry in Santiago as we do the referral mastery workshop. You got to master referral marketing. You got to put a lot of eggs in that basket. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know about that. Cool. And that could be a great closing tool for you. Okay? So I hope that you got a good bit out of the 7-step sales process and the 5 ways to overcome objections. Now, the final piece that I want to share with you today is what I call the most profitable sale ever made. The most profitable sale ever made in any business is the upsell. The add-on sale. Everything that you add on to that order after the initial purchase or along with the initial purchase. Why is it the most profitable sale ever made? Because the time, the energy, and the money has already been invested in getting that client in front of you or getting in front of that client. So that money minus labor and materials drops straight to the bottom line. Now, what are the 3 reasons? There's probably many reasons, but there are 3 primary reasons that upsells aren't made. And if we're honest with ourselves, most business owners don't do a good job of upselling. Some do, but many don't. And most employees don't do a great job of upselling either. And here's why. Number one is fear. See, we have this idea from growing up, just in our society today, unfortunately, we have forgotten that the way that we got, the way that this country was built, and when this country was very successful, it was built on capitalism. It was built on the backs of small business owners and entrepreneurs who have to sell something. And selling was serving. And somehow we've gotten this idea, as our culture has changed, that selling is something that you do to somebody. And, you know, the typical image of a salesperson is the used car salesman wearing a plaid suit and, you know, chewing gum. And when he smiles, that gold tooth sparkles, right? And nobody wants to be that. So there's this fear. Maybe when we grew up, we saw bad salespeople taking advantage of our family, taking food off the table, literally. And so we don't want to be that. So there's this fear. There's a fear of rejection. There's a fear of, you know, what will this person think? I'm a pushy salesperson. Will they be offended? And I'm going to prove to you in just a minute that not upselling is doing your customer wrong. I'm going to prove it to you. But the reason is fear. And we know what that acronym stands for, right? False evidence appearing real. All the things that we imagine usually don't happen. And if we will fix these other two things, then it won't happen. Okay? So the second thing is time. And we feel like we don't have time. We're too busy. And this is because we haven't slowed down to think about our sales goals. We haven't stopped to understand that making the upsell is a whole lot easier than getting a whole new customer. We actually want to do both, but so we haven't planned to sell. See, Zig said you're born to win, but in order to be the winner you're born to be, you've got to plan to win and prepare to win before you can expect to win. But when you plan to win, you can, and you prepare to win, you can expect to win. So when you plan to sell and you prepare to sell, what does preparing to sell mean? It means sales training. You know, training breeds confidence. And tracking without training is playing mean, as Ellen Rohr says. We tell our guys to go out and upsell. We tell our people to upsell. We tell our people to sell. And we look at the numbers and look at what they're doing or not doing. We're tracking, but we haven't given them any training. Maybe we haven't been through training ourselves. This is why you're on here today. You got to go through sales training. You got to understand what sales is and how that whole process works. It's a skill. So if your people haven't been trained, they're not going to produce as much as they could. It's just as simple as that. And when we're trained on how to sell, why to sell, and the benefits of the product to the client or prospect, then we'll do a better job. We won't offend them. We won't get in these situations that we're fearful of. In fact, when we understand why, how not upselling is doing the customer wrong, it's an injustice to them, it changes everything. So let's take a look at it. Are your products good? Are your services good? They wouldn't be coming to you if they didn't have a problem. They wouldn't be coming to you if they didn't think you had the solution. They wouldn't even be. Now, if you're chasing down people that don't even, you know, think they have a need for you, that's different. That's direct marketing. You got to create the desire first. But if you have people coming to you, they're getting on your list, they're calling you up, they're coming into your store, they're coming to your restaurant, they're looking for a benefit. Even if it's a good time, they're looking for a benefit. Even if it's good food, good service, they're looking for a benefit. And if you don't close the sale, they don't get the benefit of that product or service. Number two, they don't get the benefit of working with someone like you. So I'm going to assume that you got a great reputation. I'm going to assume that you got experience. I'm going to assume that whether you have the experience or not, that you are trained. I'm going to assume that you have good systems that take care of them. I'm going to assume that you have some kind of guarantee or follow-up. And if you have those five things, let me ask you a question. How many of your competitors have those five things or communicate those five things and care about your customer like you do? So they're not going to get the benefit of working with you. Do you believe in yourself and your company? And if you don't have all those things, you've got to fix that right now. But here's the biggie. Here's the biggie. Do you have Bubbas in your industry? Do you have people in your industry that lie to people, stand them up, give them false information, tell them anything that they want to hear? Unfortunately, we all do. Unfortunately, we all do. There's business coaches out there that never owned a business. How are you going to? The only way you can coach somebody without owning a business is by connecting with someone like us that has the experience in the business, and you turn them on to our systems. Now, that you could do. You're not really the one coaching them. You're facilitating. You're coaching them to be involved in a program. But you want your people to your clients, your prospects that you supposedly care about, you want them being mishandled and taken advantage of and lied to by your competition because you didn't make them aware of the product or service that you're going to upsell? Pretty good question, isn't it? So what you're really saying is that by not upselling, not letting them know about the other products and services that you offer, what you're really saying is that I'm going to let them suffer and not get the benefit of that product. I'm going to let them be exposed. I'm going to let their family be exposed. I'm going to let them, you know, go without whatever the benefit of that product is. I'm going to let them go without the benefit of working with someone who has a reputation, experience, education, systems, and guarantee. And I'm going to let them be taken advantage of by the competition. And plus, you're going to lose out. So great exercise, by the way, to go through is to think about what you're leaving on the table. How much money are you leaving on the table right now that could be captured by having a good sales process and a good upsell process and calculate that for every day times 5 days a week times 52 weeks a year times the number of employees that you have? How much money is being left on the table? You know, $500 a week, just $100 a day, is $26,000 a year. Almost pure profit, that almost all of it goes into your pocket. Hey, that'll pay for a couple Inner Circle memberships, and then some. Just $100 a day. By the way, when you download all your stuff, there's a business assessment. This was first published in the very last chapter of Zig Ziglar's very last book, Born to Win. Tom Ziglar and I helped Tom with the last chapter of that book, and we put this business assessment in there. And what you want to do is you want to do one of these assessments for every single area in your business, all five of the systems. And what you do is you are going to, I believe this is in the business planning document, by the way. Yeah, so it's in the business plan. So do this assessment. You rate it 1 to 10, and then you total that up, divide by 10, and then there's a business wheel in there. And if you need help on your wheel, especially if you've been in business for over 3 years, and especially if you have at least one team member, if you haven't done a free consultation with us about Inner Circle, where we can go over your assessment with you, be sure to do that, because if you're not in the Inner Circle yet, that is the place to be to take this to the next level. Now, you're learning a lot here. And you might be tempted to say, hey, you know, I'll just go implement this stuff. You're not going to implement it as well, and you're going to get distracted. So got to understand that if you are like most small businesses, the number one reason that small businesses don't grow or do as well as they could is what I call FTI, failure to implement. There's a lot to do here. We get distracted. We're overwhelmed. So you get around the community to stay inspired, to stay focused. You get accountability. You get business training. Go deep on these things. Get your people involved. Come to the conferences if you can. Watch the videos from the conferences. Get on the website. Anything that you need is there. If you need to coach an employee, download the coaching process. If you need to hire somebody, download the hiring packet. If you need a script, you download it, or you contact our office, and then we work with you one-on-one to help you reach your goals. Okay? All right, so I've got I've got plenty of time. Actually, that went faster than I thought. We have 90 minutes scheduled, but we'll probably get done a little bit easier, a little bit earlier today. It was a little bit easier than I thought it would be today. I don't know why, but actually, I know what it is. I've noticed this. I've been doing this stuff a long time, and on March the 5th, I started a health program, and I not only lost 30 pounds, but my energy level is like off the charts, and I'm like so focused and precise and exact with my training that all of my training is taking like 25% less time, you know, because I used to kind of like, get on these little things and go kind of way over here, and then, because, I mean, you might not have been able to tell it, but I could tell it. My energy level just wasn't what it is now, so. Anyway, we've got a few minutes for questions, so let me see what you got. Okay, go ahead and type in your questions now. Not a big group today. BK, what's up, boss? Good to see you on here. Let's see. Dan, who is in Amsterdam, where Tom Ziegler and I will be teaching in September. Looking forward to that. Lizzie and I spent one full day filling out the Simple Dibble business plan. Thank you so much. I love it. Excellent. Okay, next question. Is the health program also available outside the U.S.? I do not know the answer to that question. But if you will send an email to support@howardpartridge.com, they will get you in touch with our business coaches, and we will find out. I mean, our health coaches, and we will find out for you. Okay, not a lot of people on today's call. Normally, I have a whole bunch of Inner Circle members, but this is, again, basic training. They've all been through it. So let me, you don't have a lot of questions, let's do this instead. I want everybody on here to go ahead and type in your biggest takeaway from today. What was your biggest takeaway from today? Okay? Type in your biggest takeaway. Oh, I see we do have a few Inner Circle members on here. Tim, Teresa, what's up? Good to see you guys on here. Gail, BK. Oh, by the way, I saw Nina's name on here. I got your email about the Ziegler Business Owner Bootcamp, but if any of you guys are around Dallas, the Dallas area, or you can get there next week, Tom Ziegler and I are doing what we call Ziegler Business Owner Bootcamp, where I go through all of these five systems, and then we do goal setting with the Ziegler system at that two-day event. So If you're interested in that at all, let me know. Okay. All right. Let's see. Nina, do Inner Circle members have access to all the training all the time? Yes, they do. And you can download all of it, and there's just, yeah, there's a system for everything. Let's see, Tim, biggest takeaway, Ellen's statement, tracking without training is plain mean. Jimmy, overcoming price objections, good. Dan, dealing with objections, excellent. Mary, don't be afraid to upsell. Dan, do you also adjust monthly and daily for the coming months based on what you have sold already? Absolutely. So, for example, in our service company, we track daily. If we get to the 20th of the month and we adjust the daily focus every single day, we recast the daily goal every single day. We update it. And then if we get to the 20th of the month and we're behind, we might put out some kind of special offer. We'll put out a special incentive for our guys, and we'll have a rally at the end, especially on upsells. Great question. Thank you very much. Mary, selling a service, or serving, yes. Okay. Any other questions or comments before we close? All righty. Well, those of you that are ready to jump in Inner Circle, just give us a call and we'll go over that with you. Otherwise, we'll see you here next week, same time next week. We're going to talk more about systems, service systems, how to get your team to provide and deliver the most phenomenal service experience ever, every time, without it relying on you. I'm Howard Partridge. Our passion is your phenomenal success. Take care, everybody.